Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Breath of the Gods, The History and Future of the Wind by Simon Winchester is a wide-angle narrative about a force that is everywhere, yet rarely examined with the seriousness it deserves. Winchester treats wind as both a physical phenomenon and a driver of human history, connecting atmospheric science with exploration, architecture, war, energy, and culture. Moving from early attempts to name and map prevailing winds to the modern tools that measure jet streams and storms, the book shows how wind has shaped trade routes, determined the fates of ships and cities, and influenced what people built and where they settled. It also confronts the present, when a warming climate is altering weather patterns and raising the stakes for forecasting, disaster preparedness, and infrastructure design. At the same time, wind is repositioned as a hopeful resource, central to the transition away from fossil fuels. The result is an accessible blend of science writing and historical storytelling focused on a single, powerful element. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wind as a planet-scale system, from breezes to jet streams, a central topic is the basic mechanics of wind and why it behaves so differently from place to place. The book frames wind as the atmosphere in motion, driven by uneven heating of the Earth, rotation, and geography. That foundation helps explain familiar phenomena such as sea breezes, mountain winds, and seasonal shifts, then scales up to trade winds, monsoons, and the jet stream. By treating these patterns as systems rather than isolated events, the narrative clarifies how local experiences connect to global circulation. Readers see why coastlines create reliable daily rhythms, why deserts can generate intense pressure gradients, and why certain corridors become famous for aviation turbulence or sailing speed. This topic also highlights how humans have gradually improved their ability to describe and measure the invisible, from early observational records and sailor lore to modern meteorology, satellites, and numerical models. The point is not textbook detail, but practical understanding. Forecasting depends on grasping how air masses interact, how fronts and pressure fields steer storms, and how topography can amplify gusts. With climate change, these systems are under stress, making the basic science newly relevant to everyday risk, infrastructure planning, and energy strategy. Secondly, navigation, exploration, and the winds that built global trade. Another important theme is how wind-shaped exploration and commerce long before engines reduced dependence on sails. The book traces the way mariners learned to exploit prevailing winds and currents, turning atmospheric patterns into predictable highways. Knowing when monsoons reverse or where trade winds blow steadily could determine whether a voyage succeeded, whether cargo arrived intact, and whether empires expanded or stalled. This topic connects practical seamanship with broader economic history. Ports rose where winds and geography favored safe approaches, while entire trade routes emerged from seasonal wind calendars. The narrative also examines how uncertainty and risk remained constant companions. Sudden gales, calms, and shifting storm tracks could wreck fleets or strand them for weeks, creating financial pressure and human tragedy. By linking atmospheric behavior to the rise of shipping networks, colonial ventures, and global exchange, the book makes wind a silent actor in history, not merely background weather. It also suggests a continuity with the present. Modern container ships and aircraft still plan around winds to save fuel and time, and supply chains still suffer when storms close ports or disrupt logistics. Understanding wind, then, is shown as a form of strategic literacy that has mattered for centuries. Thirdly, wind in war, disasters, and the politics of vulnerability, the book also treats wind as a force that can turn routine life into crisis, shaping military outcomes and civilian disaster. From storms that scatter fleets to winds that intensify fires or push storm surges inland, atmospheric conditions can make plans obsolete within hours. This topic explores how societies have tried to reduce vulnerability through forecasting, building codes, and emergency planning, while also revealing how unevenly risk is distributed. Coastal towns, island nations, and informal settlements often bear the brunt of extreme wind events, and the consequences compound through infrastructure failure, disruptive communications, and economic loss. The theme reaches beyond meteorology into governance. Decisions about zoning, seawalls, forest management, and evacuation routes translate wind hazards into either resilience or catastrophe. Readers are invited to see disasters not as purely natural events, but as interactions between weather and human choices. The narrative also touches on the tension between individual freedom and collective safety, such as debates over rebuilding in high-risk areas or requiring stronger construction standards. In an era of shifting storm behavior, the book positions wind literacy as civic knowledge, essential for voters, planners, insurers, and anyone who wants to understand why some communities recover quickly while others face repeated setbacks. Fourthly, architecture, engineering, and the challenge of building for wind. A further topic is how wind influences the built environment, from vernacular design to modern megastructures. The book highlights the practical reality that wind loads are among the most demanding forces engineers must account for, especially as buildings become taller and lighter. Skyscrapers can sway, bridges can oscillate, and cladding can fail if turbulence and resonance are not well understood. This theme emphasizes how design responds to local wind climates, roof shapes that reduce uplift, street grids that avoid wind tunnels, and coastal construction that anticipates hurricane gusts. It also shows how measurement and testing evolved, including wind tunnels, computational modeling, and on-site monitoring that informs safer standards. Beyond safety, wind affects comfort and energy use. Poorly planned developments can create unpleasant microclimates at street level, while thoughtful design can harness breezes for passive cooling and healthier indoor air. The narrative links these considerations to climate adaptation, arguing that yesterday's assumptions about typical wind regimes may not hold in coming decades. As storms become costlier, the value of robust engineering rises, and the book frames wind-conscious design as both a technical discipline and a public good that protects lives, reduces insurance losses, and supports sustainable cities. Lastly, the future of wind, clean energy, forecasting, and a changing climate. The final major topic is wind as a pillar of the future, both as a challenge and as a resource. On the challenge side, the book points to climate-driven changes in atmospheric circulation that may affect storm intensity, regional wind patterns, and the reliability of historical weather expectations. That uncertainty increases the importance of better observation networks, improved modeling, and clearer communication of risk. On the resource side, wind power is presented as one of the most scalable tools for decarbonizing electricity, especially when paired with grid upgrades, storage, and smarter demand management. This theme addresses the realities behind the promise, siting decisions, intermittency, transmission constraints, offshore engineering, wildlife impacts, and community acceptance. It suggests that successful deployment requires not only technology, but also policy design and fair distribution of benefits. The book also frames wind as an economic and geopolitical factor, reshaping supply chains and reducing dependence on fossil fuel producers. Readers come away with a sense that the wind era is not a return to the past, but a technologically sophisticated shift, where turbines, satellites, and data science replace sails and weather lore. The future depends on learning to live with the atmosphere as it is becoming, while using its motion to power modern life. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy narrative science, global history, and big-picture explanations of how the natural world shapes human choices. It is especially valuable for anyone curious about weather and climate, coastal living, travel, maritime history, engineering, or renewable energy, as well as students and general readers who want a single, coherent lens through which to view many familiar events. The benefit is practical as much as intellectual. By understanding how wind forms, how it moves through landscapes and cities, and how it can amplify danger, readers gain a clearer framework for interpreting forecasts, planning travel, thinking about home resilience, and evaluating local policy debates about zoning and infrastructure. The book is also motivating because it treats wind not only as a hazard, but as a major tool for a cleaner energy system, helping readers connect personal concerns to larger transitions. Compared with many climate or energy books that focus narrowly on policy or emissions, this one stands out for its unifying subject and its cross-disciplinary sweep. It can be worth buying because it offers both story and structure, turning an everyday phenomenon into a memorable guide to history, risk, and opportunity. If you would like to support Simon Winchester, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.